Hello and welcome to the official TME Podcaster channel on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe and hit the bell icon for some great content. And we've just begun this journey that we are embarking on, and we'd like you to join us. So we recently launched our podcast on this platform with a vision to reach out to a wider audience. So we're on a mission to help thousands of men out there like yourself who are suffering in silence, which the topic of today is the silence we hold. So we are trying to figure out why it is so difficult for men to ask for help. What's holding them back? So join us on this podcast series on Men Don't Talk while we explore this topic. We're awesome. Ignoring the stigma around mental health that stops many men from seeking help when they need it the most. And it is literally killing them. So joining me today is Brother Cyrus. I met Cyrus on TikTok, and he's a great inspiration to me, especially with how he captivates and keeps the audience engaged on various topics such as mental health, healing, etc. And I'm truly honored to have him on this podcast. He's actually joined the team, so it's not just an actual podcast with him. It's not a guest appearance. He's actually wanting to be part of this fantastic journey we're on. So there you go, Cyrus, over to you. Let's make it happen.
Thank you for such a warm welcome. Thank you. Greetings to everybody listening. Welcome. Just a very warm introduction. Just a little rundown about my background, I guess I would say. I am a, you know, child and adult of a survivor of a sexual abuse. Yes, this does happen to men as well. I spent about a decade going through, you know, therapy, counseling, mentorship, all of the things, along with my own personal, you know, self-education on, you know, mental health, habits and routines, how our brains function, trauma, et cetera, all these things. So I've spent a lot of time in this area of, I guess you could say, mental health, but as well as, you know, personal development. And, you know, I could say now at this point, though I'm still in the process, the lifelong, you know, experience, but I am on the other side now, right? I'm on the uptake where I'm no longer in a at a point where I'm just trying to survive what had happened, but I'm moving into learning how to thrive and become, you know, the man I've always wanted to be, right? Yeah. So that's awesome. A little bit about me. I'm glad to be here. Let's jump in.
Yeah. So this we want to talk about the persona that men are expected to have nowadays. So having this macho thing, like needing to put on this tough guy persona, which actually suppresses our thoughts, our emotions, feelings, you know, that kind of thing. And a lot of men don't want to admit that they have this problem, but they still see depression as a sign of weakness. And honestly, I think it's a mindset that is very outdated and there needs to be a reform. And nowadays, I would say it is something that is being picked up on, especially with what's happening. You know, we can talk about toxic masculinity, for instance. And we need to make it known that there is a huge problem. And the only way to get to the bulk of it is just figuring out what's going on. Like, why is this happening? And hey, by the way, we've launched our support group. And this support group is running every month. And if you'd like to register, we always put the link in the details of the video. So make sure you do check that out. And we run it every fourth Sunday of the month. I just wanted to throw that in there. So this is a safe space for men where they can meet up, talk, help each other, just basically talk about everything and anything. There's no specific topic. And it's a safe space for people to come and have a conversation. You can join anonymously. So yeah, do check it out. It's fresh out of the box and it's happening. So Cyrus, toxic masculinity, it really comes down to the way males are brought up. You know, like the way we're taught to stay strong and then quiet, you know, that kind of thing. So what are your thoughts on this specific topic?
Okay, so speaking on this, you know, the term itself, toxic masculinity, I have such a deep-rooted problem with it. I see nothing unhealthy about masculinity, right? It's this term that's become very popular, especially amongst, you know, the women, and I understand why. It does imply that masculinity in itself is inherently evil, you know, damaging, poisonous. And in fact, it's very much the opposite of that, right? There's nothing about masculinity that is toxic. However, the lack of masculinity is what these women are, and, you know, society at large are experiencing from, you know, men who are lashing out and, or, you know, don't have a better sense of control over their sense of self, their being, their reactions to stressful situations. It's the lack of masculinity that's the problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we bring that back to the how we're raised as boys, you know, it's what's needed is masculinity training, right? And we used to have this in our older societies, right? And I believe some cultures that are not yet or quite enthralled in the, you know, Western materialistic mindset still hold to, like, the rites of passage for men, right? A lot of tribes still do this, where they take the boys and they separate them from the group, right? From their mothers, from the women of the village, and they take them out with the elder males, and they begin their training. They train, they learn what it is to be a man, right? How to control your strength, when to use your strength, right? And but in those moments, you're actually also developing the ability to speak to other men, to have intimate relationships with men. And that's what we're lacking. So this notion that we have, this very toxic way of raising boys about being, you know, you have to be silent and you have to be strong.
Yeah,
it's incorrect. And in fact, it's actually making us weak.
Right.
Right. Imagine how incapable somebody is, how handicapped we become when we cannot speak on something. Right. Imagine you're in a classroom and you have questions, but you're not allowed to talk. You're now at a disadvantage compared to everybody else. So I do see that as a big problem, the way in which we're raised, that's strong and be quiet, don't speak. I believe the correct way to go about it is, yes, we have to be strong. However, we also need to know that speaking is a form of strength, and we have to be taught when, how, and where to do that. That's what we're lacking as men. We don't know where to do it anymore. And in turn, we don't know how to do it. So we just stay quiet and we shut in. And I've done this myself. It's still something I fight on a daily basis.
Right. Excellent. Well, thank you for that. And I think it is kind of like, I would feel like it's important to mention a couple of examples or even a definition of toxic masculinity. It refers to a notion that some people's idea of manliness perpetuates, you know, domination, aggression, etc. And it's like a cultural pressure for men to behave in a certain way. As you mentioned a couple of pointers there about the effect of it has on boys to men, or within that kind of in-between fashion or structure. So like when a boy is brought up in a certain environment where, let's say, he's around men. So as an example, I can give you for myself, I grew up with like a mix of, you know, my brothers and sisters. And I had my brother who would be very, hey, you know, you need to man up, toughen up, and that kind of stuff. And then I had the other aspect of it where my sisters would be, you know, obviously the feminine side. And it was like, you know, soft and hard kind of two perspectives. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a good mix. And I think, like I was talking to someone yesterday on one of the live shows that I was doing, and he raised a really good point where some of the attributes of femininity, as you know, in comparison to masculinity, with some of the like kindness. So if kindness is only attributed as a feminine, a feminine emotion or need, etc., why can't males be kind? You know, why does it have to be a a perception of, okay, if male people are kind, you know, if they're kind, what's taking over? Are they becoming more feminine because they're kind to people, you know? And it was really interesting about how we attribute certain characteristics as human beings, whether it's feminine or masculine. So I wanted to kind of move on to some of the things we were talking about, you know, kind of stick to the topic, the silence we hold. Mm-hmm. If men are less willing to ask for help, because that's one of the biggest issues we're seeing, they'll continue to experience the symptoms of anything that contributes to depression. So certain coping strategies may be drugs and alcohol. And of course, we all know that they are harmful to the body, but that person is going to start using if, you know, if they're experimenting or they're thinking, hey, you know what, I need to get myself out of this misery for a temporary moment in time. And they may turn to harmful things if they don't have the correct support mechanism in place. So when people are struggling with anxiety, stress, depression, etc., other mental health conditions, they aren't really embracing the healthy coping resources. So that's when they end up turning into harmful things. So the problem is, how do we as a society change men's perception of seeking for help before they get to that point? So I think we need to address the issue before it gets worse, because, you know, we've had a look at some of the statistics, and it's scary because especially men, they only turn to help or they recognize that they have an issue when something drastic occurs. So it could be trying to commit suicide, for instance. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly they think, oh my God, I think, or even a thought in that process of wanting to end their lives because they've just had enough, or that's the only option they have. And then they'll think, oh, you know what? I think I need to get some help. But sometimes they're not, that thought might not even be in their head. So again, you know, we need to address these situations and provide men platforms to go to. So a dedicated safe zone to make them feel like they can feel, you know, they can visit from time to time and feel safe. So what are your thoughts on that? And what I just said, sorry.
It's it's very real, right? And it's when you think about it, it's actually truly, it's scary to really think about that, right? And the stats on men's suicide, it's, if I remember correctly, and I don't want to misquote, and this is probably on the kinder side of, or the lighter side of the figure, but at least every 20 minutes, you know, 20, 30 minutes, a man in the West has committed suicide. He's ended it, right? And these are not men who, you know, necessarily have to be suffering from some sort of drug addiction or alcohol. These are men from all walks of life, all walks of wealth and riches doing this, right? Many of them. And I can reinforce this by saying, you know, I was a part of a men's group, right, while I was going through a lot of my recovery. And, you know, some of these men that came in for actual help, you know, in regards to having been abused in this way, the average age for a man to actually start to seek any sort of help for this, if they do so, is between 50 and 60 years old.
Wow.
Is when they begin to actually just look into it, let alone do something.
Scary.
Because most of these men, they started off going through, you know, AA meetings and things of this nature, and they had to dig down until they found the root cause. And, you know, that's if they get there. Because a lot of these men, as we mentioned earlier, they choose a permanent, you know, solution for our temporary problems. And it's just that bad. So the way in which I see us addressing this is, like, as you mentioned, we have to bring back men's spaces, male spaces, and not shared, not optional, but strictly for boys and men. We need these spaces back. We used to have them. They're now obliterated. They're gone from our society. Yeah. They're not allowed to exist. Right.
Right.
And it hurts. It hurts our boys. It hurts our men. It hurts everybody. And in turn, it hurts the women. It hurts the family. It hurts everybody. And in addition to that, you know, I believe another route we can take, and we're already doing this ourselves, is, you know, those of us men who are in a position emotionally and mentally where we can actually begin to speak on these things publicly, we need to speak, whether it's through writing or video or audio. We need to get our voices out there so other men can hear us. Because, you know, speaking like this is not common for men, especially doing it publicly. It's hard, especially to speak on these issues, because they're so intimate, very, very intimate for us. And in short, it's just about, again, you know, those of us men who can speak, to speak up, but also to encourage our men to go into more public facing career choices and or hobbies where they can be in front of younger boys, right? The young boys. So teachers, counselors, mentors, bigger brother programs, these things to be a presence in these young boys' life as they grow up. They can say, hey, you know, there's a man here. Like this is a male. They're not just seeing one side of society, which is often the women.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I agree. And I think it's important to emphasize that one of the first steps, especially to remove this stigma of men asking for help, it's recognizing that there's a need for help and also vulnerability. Because whenever you speak to, or even mention to a male person, you know, hey, how do you feel about being vulnerable? Or it, suddenly it's like, hey, I'm not vulnerable. You know, I'm not weak. I can deal with these situations, whatever it is, come what may. But it's establishing that look, hey, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay not to be okay. And that way they'll be able to work on themselves. And they are not in denial, because sometimes whenever people go through those kind of issues, whenever men go through them, they try to ignore that there's something there. It's something present. And it, you know, it takes time sometimes to come to surface. You know, it might be certain things, physical or something emotional, you know, lack of sleep, etc. But they'll be in this phase of denial. Of knowing that there's an issue and thinking it will pass, and whatever moment that they're in. And eventually they'll think, okay, it will pass. But what about the aftermath? What happens after that? And I read something the other day, like our bodies keeps a score of every little thing that we go through. So although we may think it's a moment or a small trauma, you know, traumatic event, whatever it is, you know, a few days of sadness, anxiety, etc. Our bodies and minds are literally absorbing every bit of that. And sometimes it can manifest into something physical. So, you know, why do you think chronic illnesses are evident in men? Insomnia, breathing problems, heart conditions, etc. All these things are manifesting with something that they're either ignoring or they're not addressing. And it's just getting worse and worse. And it's eating away at the body. And this is why, you know, we cannot ignore the issues, because eventually they will come back and bite us, you know. So have you ever, I guess, you know, I'm not, whether it's on a personal level, I know I have, you know, having some sort of chronic pain or a skin condition, and most of them, they are the outcomes of some sort of trauma that I've gone through in my life. And I still feel it today. You know, it's not something that can just go away. It's a very gradual process. So what are your thoughts on that, Cyrus?
I mean, that's you summed it up perfectly. That's perfectly. All I can add to that is you know, yes, this happens. This is real. I mean, I myself, right, I have PTSD, right? I'm also diagnosed bipolar too, right? So these are things that I deal with on an ongoing basis, right? It's, you know, the PTSD, that's some of the trauma. It is what it is, the various forms of trauma. And then, you know, the bipolar is just, it's a just the chemical, right? It's just my brain. It's just how it is. It's a physical thing. And so even with that, when we go through these hardships as men, like even myself, as you mentioned, you know, I've gone through so many times, even recently, where, you know, I think I could just do this. I could figure it out on my own. I don't need to get help. I don't need to ask for help. I don't need to say anything. I can just, it'll pass. I just need to weather through it, right? I just weather through it like a storm. And unfortunately, what we forget is that, you know, especially with that mentality, that example that I just used, weathering through the storm, you know, where does this come from? That's usually a ship out in the storm. Well, a ship cannot be manned by one person. It's manned by a team of people. And very often we as men, we think we're a solitary ship manned by one, and it's just not it. We need other men around us as we go through the storms of life. So everything you said was perfectly perfect. I just wanted to echo it because it's true. These things stay with us. They really, really do.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think it's just like anything, really, you know, as long as the conversations are taking place and they're put out there for people to see, and they, you know, it's just knowing how to feel human again, having an emotion that isn't judged on or perceived as something that shouldn't be coming from a male person, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that needs to be addressed. And the more it does, the more people are aware of these situations. You know, we're constantly hearing about even celebrities who've literally gone through, like, from rags to riches, and then you get all the riches and you have literally everything, but there's something missing. Like, how, you know, it makes you think, how can a person who's basically lived a very luxurious life, they've literally had everything from houses to cars to money that, you know, would, it's like we're talking generational wealth, and they still find that there's some unhappiness there. There's no peace. There's no purpose. They feel like they still have no purpose. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly chasing after this peace, you know? And that's the thing. It's like what it boils down to is, what are you living for? What's the reason for all this? And, you know, like they say, money can't buy happiness, but it does, you know, I guess it helps with the bills and stuff like that. But
yes, it does.
Where you are in yourself as a being, as a person, as a man, that's far more important than any of that. And we see it with, you know, like it, when celebrities have everything, yet they feel unhappy and they want to end their lives. What does that tell you? There's such a big space that needs to be filled.
It really is scary, though. It really is. Because like you said, like to think they have access to everything, the best doctors, the best psychologists, the best, whatever they need, they can get it. Yeah. And still, they reach a point where I can't do this anymore. I can't be a man anymore. There's something, you know, terrifyingly broken about how our society is dealing with men. Some final words for me here on this topic is, you know, men, I'm a big advocate for writing. Right. I know as I've gone through a lot of things personally, I didn't have people around, and or I didn't, you know, feel as though I was allowed to speak. I wrote and I have stacks of journals, and I would have more, but I did a ceremony and I got rid of another half of them. So, but I got a lot of journals in which, you know, you write, gentlemen, please write. Track how you feel, track what you do in your day. Just reflect, just do it in writing. Don't type. Actually, get a pen, pencil, and a notebook. Yeah. There is great power in that, gentlemen. I'm telling you. If it wasn't for journaling, I honestly don't know where I'd be, because I believe having and maintaining a journal for all these years has truly given me a great sense of perspective on myself and where I've come from, but it also keeps me grounded throughout the day as well. And guys, of course, sign up for the support group. I want to see you guys there. I'll be there. My brother's going to be there, of course. So we're doing this. We need our men to be healthy and strong. And to the women listening, please check on the men in your family. You know, your brother, your uncle, your father, just the men around that you care about, please check on them and tell them something nice about themselves. We don't hear it, ladies. We don't. I know we live in very two different worlds, but believe me, as men, we do not receive kind words. We may get one once a year. It's true. So that's everything for me at this point.
That's awesome, man. Thank you. That was an awesome closing comments there. So yeah, just, you know, like brother was saying there, remember guys, don't forget to check out our support group every fourth Sunday of the month. And it's easy to remember, and it's free registration. It's a non-judgment zone. Every man from every walk of life is welcome. This isn't just for Muslims. This is for, you know, every race, religion, you know, whatever you come from. Please join us, because these conversations are very important. We've literally opened the floodgates because we know mental health is on the rise, and we have to address this, and we have to work on ourselves. And we feel like even if it's impacting one person or two within this group, that's enough for us, you know. And even if you want to come and have a listen, you're welcome to do so. We support confidentiality, and we would never share your details with anyone. And if you wanted to join anonymously, you can have your video off, etc. We support that fully. And, you know, everyone is welcome to their own privacy, etc. So that's where I wanted to close. Make sure you subscribe and hit the bell icon to stay updated on our content. This is like our very first podcast together. And honestly, I've really appreciated your time, Cyrus. Your comments and your input is always valuable. I'm so glad you approached me to join this, because I feel like you're one of the biggest pieces that was missing in this jigsaw puzzle. So thank you so much, brother, for your time and efforts and everything that you do, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Because people like you, you know, who literally, and I'm going to say this from the heart, you're one of those individuals that I've seen, especially when you were on TikTok, you give up so much of your time. You could be doing absolutely anything, but you literally spend that time to help other people. And you know, when you provide that as a service to someone and you're not expecting anything back, that is more valuable than any gold, silver, or whatever commodity out there. And you provide that. And that's why when you asked to just literally, you know, come onto the show, I was like, hey, listen, you don't need to sign anywhere. Just let's do this, you know? Because I was like, this was like a prayer accepted. Literally, I was like, I need someone on this team. I need someone to be part of this podcast. And I'm so glad you're here, man. Thank you so much. Anyway, enough for that.
I'm honored. No, thank you. Thank you for such kind words. Nah, man, it's a blessing for me. It's an honor for me to be able to just hold space for others, man. It's awesome. It's not me doing it. I just hold the space. Everyone else makes it happen. And thank you for having me here. This is incredible. I'm loving this.
Anytime, man. Let's make this happen. There's more from Cyrus, obviously, and myself on the podcast series. So do stay tuned. Listen, this is just the beginning. We've only just got started. This is like, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We've got so much to cover on the Men Don't Talk series. So join us and let's make this happen. All right, Cyrus, thanks for your time, bro. All right, take it easy.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.